Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
This episode of EU Startups Podcast is brought to you by Vanta. Are you building a business? Achieving compliance with frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2 can help you win bigger deals, enter new markets, and deepen trust with customers. But this can also cost you real time and money. Vanta automates up to 90% of the work for the most in-demand frameworks, helping businesses get compliant quickly. And with over 300 integrations, you can easily monitor and secure the tools your businesses rely on. Join over 7,000 fast-growing companies that use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. To learn more about how Vanta works and to get 20% off, visit vanta.com/EU Startups. That's vanta.com/EU Startups. Now, kick back and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. My guest today is Shirley Romick, who's the Chief Accelerator Investment Officer at Techstars, the world's most active pre-seed investor. Awesome to have you on the show, Shirley. Thanks for joining me. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks, Marcin, for having me. So glad to be here.
Awesome. Let's dive right in then. Joining Techstars must feel like stepping onto a rocket ship heading to the future. What are the things you're eager to tackle as the new Chief Accelerator Investment Officer? It's a long title. And how do you plan to supercharge Techstars 2.0?
Yeah, thanks so much for asking. At Techstars, we fund amazing, unstoppable founders, but we also, as a company, growing ourselves as well. And so I'm really excited to build Techstars to the next level through 2.0, which is all about supercharging our organization as Techstars and invest in even more companies and help our founders fundraise better and then double down in the large capital, venture capital markets all around the world. So this is a evolution of the business that we've been thinking about for several years. And really at this point, doubling down our efforts to evolve our business model.
Amazing. So Techstars 2.0 aims to make significant changes to, you know, how accelerator programs operate, aiming for closer synergy between the accelerator investments and ecosystem development. How do you envision harmonizing these elements to create a seamless journey for founders?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So we have a very unique model. And our model is about building very, very strong pipelines even before a founder comes to an accelerator. And so ecosystem development is a part of our business that is a non-equity product. So effectively, we have a philosophy that we believe talent exists everywhere, but capital is not. So what we do is we go out to every corner of the world and we have we launch either startup weekends or what we call founder catalyst programs. These are a accelerator light model that's non-equity, where we bring founders who may not quite yet be ready for an accelerator. Maybe they have an idea. Maybe they haven't decided to go found a company full time yet. And we come in and we give them education tools to help them think about their business, refine their business model. And so it's the connection between that part of our business. Then as we put founders or potential founders through founder catalysts and startup weekends, inevitably you have the founders who really feel passionate about their business that rise to the top. And then those founders we recruit into our accelerator programs.
Sounds awesome. Truly, I know that before joining Techstars, you also experienced some other entrepreneurial journeys yourself. Scaling companies like Lyft and Equinox, to me, sounds like being at the helm of, you know, a high-speed train hurtling towards growth. What's one wild ride you've had in scaling a tech giant that, you know, still brings a smile or a chill to you?
Yeah, I think the most memorable, I mean, so many memories, but the most memorable example, as you know, in 2020, when we had COVID, that was a very difficult time for a rideshare business. Imagine being trapped in a car with windows, you know, up, and this is during COVID.
Yeah.
We had drivers that were, frankly, kind of concerned about driving. And then, of course, we had riders who were also concerned about COVID. These were in the very early days. So leading a rideshare business through COVID was very memorable. Specifically, one of the things we did was work with our level five organization within Lyft at that time. That was the autonomous driving unit. And we actually designed these plexiglass dividers that would go between the driver and the rider in the car.
Right.
And I remember in our factory or distribution center, physically putting together these plexiglass dividers. And, you know, I physically helped put them together. Everybody did. It was all hands on deck. We ended up distributing thousands of these through the driver centers at Lyft. And so this was 2021. And then fast forward several years, recently I was in a market out west and I actually rode in a Lyft that still had one of these plexiglasses in the back.
All right.
I took a picture and I sent it to my colleagues and I said, oh my gosh, I haven't seen one of these in forever. Do you remember when we used to put these together? And then wouldn't you know it? So after my Lyft ride, I got out of the car. Took a picture of this plexiglass. Then I went into to our Techstars accelerator, and one of the founders from this company called Chassis, they make a robotics software deployment workflow product. And anyways, he happened to be an engineer at Level 5 at Lyft at the time when I was there. And he was the one that helped us design these plexiglass dividers. And he was at a Techstars cohort class that I was visiting. And so then I showed him this picture and I was like, I literally got out of this Lyft. You helped me design. It was really incredible. And it just goes to show, you know, your work lives on. And it's was one of those moments where I just felt so like a sense of purpose and pride.
It's a hell of a story. I love it. Shirley, so, you know, from funding Mixio to navigating the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, you've surfed the waves of startup life like a pro. What were some of the most valuable lessons, you know, you learned along the way?
I don't know about like a pro. I would say, I think building anything, whether it's a startup or a business, it's about being able to both dream really big and to have vision, but then also being able to execute, right? It's a little bit of both, right? And I think that particularly for startups, you have to have a compelling vision. You have to be able to sell it. I'm sure you have had guests that comes on and tell you that, you know, endlessly. But at the end of the day, you got to take that vision and you got to build a team and you got to be able to execute it. And we're in a world where a lot of people have very similar ideas. And the idea itself is not necessarily unique, although you do have to dream big, you do have to have a vision. What differentiates people is really about that execution piece, is to say, okay, now here's my dream. I see it 10 years down the road. How do I break that down into what I need to do, you know, tomorrow, a week from now, a month from now, a quarter from now, a year from now? And then building a team and have the discipline to do both the strategy and then the detail, especially because in the beginning of a startup, you literally, you're the, you know, chief bathroom cleaner, right? Chief, like,
right.
Spreadsheet artist, right? There is, you literally do everything. And it's the ability to be able to balance those two that I think is really critical.
Mm. 100% agree. And like when I actually look at Techstars, to me, it's, like it's a global network. It's like a vibrant marketplace of ideas and innovation. Like, so actually, here's a question to you, Shirley. How do you plan to tap into this dynamic ecosystem to create win-win partnerships that, you know, fuel growth for Techstars and its portfolio companies?
Yeah, there's a bunch of ways we do that. I think one of the ways that we do that is we have these amazing corporate partnerships. So, for example, we have a corporate partnership with ABN AMRO in Amsterdam, where we have a fintech program. Yeah. And one of the ways we leverage our corporate partnerships is to be able to you know, both give corporate partners what they're looking for. In this case, they're looking for bringing innovation and bringing that startup spirit into a very large financial services organization and really invigorate their internal teams and help them think creatively. And then for our founders, it's about giving them access to this financial giant that they can run pilots with, which is incredibly invaluable for startups because, as you know, outside of money, I think probably traction for startups is the lifeblood, right? Continuously showing traction to be able to then fundraise is absolutely critical for them. So our corporate partners really help our startups do that. I think another way that we really tap into our network is that we have this global reach. And with global reach, we're able to, again, reach into sort of the corners of the market where people may not be looking and then be able to find startup founders. So for example, we just announced a partnership with IDB Labs where we are running, you know, I talked about EcoDev products earlier, but running pre-accelerator startup weekends and founder catalyst, so pre-accelerator programs in Central America. And we're doing that in 6 different countries. We're focused on female STEM founders. And this is the type of network and reach that we have that then we can eventually bring to our accelerators that is really unique. And unless you have that global network, it's very hard to do.
100%. Shruti, sounds amazing. What trends do you foresee, shaping the future of startup ecosystems, and how can Techstars adapt to it and, you know, stay ahead of the curve?
Yeah, I think that with this very challenging environment that we see in the VC market and just in tech in general, there is such richness in terms of talent out there thinking about building something. And with now the developer tools out there, you can be a non-technical founder and be able to develop something very quickly. So we see a lot of talent out there. We'll continue to see talent, but I think what the challenge you see in a lot of markets is that unless you're based in, you know, London, New York, San Francisco, it's hard to get funding. And you're sort of like trying to figure out how to get traction. And so again, if we go back to sort of the ecosystem development work, the pre-accelerator work that we do in these markets, what we're seeing is a lot of interest in both governmental institutions and in universities to help really develop this like pre-founder, pre-like equity founder layer of talent. And we're seeing a lot of interest in partnering with us to do that work in order for us to help prepare that next generation of founders. And you're starting to see that really kind of an unprecedented sense of momentum because we understand, or the governmental institutions understand, the universities understand, that there's a lot of talent and a lot of IP to potentially tap into and to commercialize, but they need the like structural support in the network and the mentorship and the curriculum, frankly, and the community in order to bring these founders to market. So we're seeing a lot of interest in that.
Awesome. Shruti, I also know that, you're a vivid fan of tennis and running. Yes. You know, as someone who has concurred marathons, you know, both on the track and in the boardroom, you know a thing or two about staying there, you know, on the course and kind of powering through challenges. How do you channel that endurance mindset to lead Techstars towards its goals?
I think it helps to be a little bit of an introvert because you're in your head a lot. At least it was for me for running. You know, I would spend way too long training. I think it's about strategy and obviously pacing yourself. So I'll make a kind of analogy. I am not the fastest runner. I'm actually quite slow. In fact, that's why I ran marathons, because in high school I did track as a way to keep me in shape for lacrosse, which is a very much of a North America US sport. I don't think we have it in Europe. But anyways, when I was in track, I wanted to sprint, and the coach was like, "Shruti, you're not a sprinter. Why don't you try long distance?" And that was a very nice way of telling me I was not fast. So I decided to take up long distance running. One strategy I found to be able to finish the marathon is this method called like you run and walk at the same time, and you start from the very beginning. You literally like mile one or kilometer one, you would run and then you would say, okay, I'm going to walk for 30 seconds and I'm going to run for 9 minutes and I'm going to walk for 30 seconds or whatever the sort of off and on schedule you have. And that allows you to go a really long way, right? Without being tired, so that towards the end, you're fresh. And I think that's the same with founding businesses and startups and building companies, big or small, right? It's about having the big vision. I want to do a marathon, but then be able to break it down into really digestible chunks to say, okay, what is my goal? What's my OKR? What's my goal this month? Next month? How do I create a really compelling vision, but again, a very tactical execution plan so that I can continue to check myself and say, am I on track? Am I on track? Am I on track? And it is a really long-term journey. I think that as startup founders, overachievers, people tend to want to go really, really fast because you want to be able to see traction. And particularly if you raise funding, you know the pressure you're getting from your investors to say they want to see the up and to the right really quickly. But I think it's really important to remember to say, listen, like any chart up and to the right is something that you got to then look at the time scale, right? The up and to the right chart is really deceptive. Because you don't know what the time scale is. And the up and to the right time scale, usually for startups, is, at least 5, if not 10 years. And so you got to think about, if you want to go up and to the right, you have to be able to think about that in like a 5, more like 10 year chunk. And then think about how do you then break down that so that you can pace yourself through that entire journey. And that's really critical because so much of being able to be successful in a startup or any building of a business is just your ability to stay with it,
I love it. I love this piece of advice. And you actually kind of answered my next questions because I was just about to ask you, to imagine you're at the starting line of a marathon about to embark on another journey. And then what advice would you give to founders gearing up for their startup marathon? If you want to add anything to it, then this is, you can do that now.
Yeah. Am I frozen? Okay. I'll add one more thing. I think that a marathon is it's so funny you honed in on that in my bio. I love that because I never thought of it this way, but there's a lot of similarities between
so many, right?
Right. Being an entrepreneur and running long distance. Being an entrepreneur is super lonely. Running is can be a really lonely task, right? For me, at least, I like to run alone. I don't like to run with a pack only because, again, I'm slow and so I can't keep up with the pack. But I think being able to, what I loved about marathon running is that you're by yourself and you know you've got this race and you're the one that has to get it done. But you have people around you to help you, cheer you on. And so what's incredible about my favorite marathon is the New York City Marathon. A, because I live here, it's easy to get to. But B, the energy is incredible. There's just people high-fiving you on the street, kids high-fiving you. And just gives you energy along the way. And I think that's very similar to building a startup, is that community you build. And it's a journey that you have to go through yourself, but the community you build of your team, of your advisors, of your mentors, and that's what TechStars does for you, is to help you build that community, is really, really invaluable because you never know who somebody knows who can be helpful to your business. So for example, our founder could be sitting in Mentor Madness, which is one of the hallmarks of TechStars. In week 2 and week 3, we put you in front of 60 to 100 mentors. Yeah. And magic happens. So madness and magic happens. You never know who's in front of you, and that person may not have a direct connection into your business, but they may know someone who does, or a family member, a friend, or a colleague. And so it's building that community while you're, in this journey, which is very much about being focused within and being able to execute. I think that's, that's the biggest parallel and lesson for me on running and startup building.
I love it. I had one guest some time ago on the podcast, Jacqueline Van Den Ende. She's building
She's like mobilizing billions of dollars to help solve climate change with her company, Carbon Equity. And she's also a marathon runner. And she told me that one day she was running a marathon. And what she realized while running, because it was super tough, of course, is that if she keeps putting one foot ahead of the other and just keeps moving, she will sooner or later, get to the finish of this and will just complete this journey. So I think this is also a funny thing to say that, you know, like you're just gonna keep on going. Maybe sometimes, you know, change the direction a bit, or like, as you said, like sometimes run a bit faster and sometimes run a bit slower. And well, at the end, you're gonna make it to the finish line. And perseverance, I think, here is like kind of a also a big factor. And actually, this is kind of a thing that I wanted to ask you about next, because speaking of marathons, I promise it's the last question about marathons. What's like one race day memory that, you know, like kind of perfectly captures the spirit of perseverance and this, you know, triumph of completing the marathon for you?
Yeah. So I've run the New York City a few times. The toughest part for me is this part in Queensboro Bridge. I think it's like mile 15, 16, although I feel like I remember that it was more like in the low 20s when I ran it, because I was really tired by that point. And the reason why that's memorable is because you're on this bridge, which means that there's no spectators, right? Because usually, why I mentioned earlier, like you're high-fiving people, that's like in like Brooklyn and Queens, there's people on the streets. But on the Queensboro
Bridge, amazing energy.
Yeah, amazing energy. And on the bridge, it's like there's no spectators, because no spectators go on the bridge. And what's interesting is that the bounce you feel on your feet is different, right? On the road, you don't even realize there's like a sense of bounce you get. But on the bridge, every step you take is like, you feel like you're like in the sand, like, oh my God, what's going on? And so it's particularly tiring. And all you can hear on the bridge is just people breathing next to you, like the, like some people breathing really hard, some people dropping behind. And it's quite sad actually on this bridge. But I think what's really incredible about that moment is that's the moment you know you're at the lowest point of the race, and that you know, you go through highs, you go through lows. As a startup founder, there's highs and lows every single day. Sometimes within the hour, within minutes, you can hear something great and hear something bad at the same time. And that's the low point for me in the race always. But you know that if you just get through that, you're going to get through a high point again. And then you're going to get to the point where people are cheering on the side and you can get energy, you can get inspiration. And so to me, that's always like the most poignant moment, because you know it's, you are literally going through the toughest time. And that if you can get through that, then it's all, downhill from there.
Amazing. Surely. Lastly, as you strap in for this, you know, exciting ride with Techstars, what's one thing you hope to accomplish that, probably there's like many things, but I'd say what's one thing you hope to accomplish that will, you know, make you look back and say, wow, that was a hell of a journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, so there's two things. Obviously, at Techstars, what we do is we help build our founders' companies and help them reach, you know, incredible highs and make an impact. But one of my main goals at Techstars is to also help Techstars build as a company, and therefore 2.0.
Right.
We have a vision at Techstars. So we have our own ambition as a company. We are building a very unique institutional investment business in the pre-seed stage, unlike any other. And this is the phase in our company journey where we're going from a model where I would say it's a federation of accelerators into pulling that together into a more centralized, more powerful, more scalable business. And so if I'm able to do this at Techstars, which I have a great team and to help me do this, and be able to build us into a multi-billion dollar institutional pre-seed investment business, investing in thousands of companies a year. Right now, we invest in about 700 to 800 startups a year. We have ambitions to do thousands. Yeah. If I'm able to do that, to me, that would be quite a privilege in a life's work to be able to do that.
Amazing, Shirlene. Thank you so much for sharing your story and insights about all things Techstars, startups, venture capital, and marathons. I hope one day we will run a marathon together, or at least have a jog.
Yeah.
It's so lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for your time, and I wish you all the best, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Martin. Talk to you later. Take care.